With my friends at the old country church. I have to make the crossing of the Jordan deep and wide, and you linger in this life, I promise you, when your life on earth is over and you come to cross the tide, I'll be waiting at the river for you. No more heartaches, no sorrows, no tears to dim the eyes. I could never say goodbye again to you. Hand in hand we'll stroll together, walking heaven's avenue. I'll be waiting at the river for you. Just beyond the shining river, there's a land of pure delight, where someday I'll start a life again anew. There's my mansion built by Jesus, where no one will ever die. I'll be waiting at the river for you. No more heartaches, no sorrows, no tears to dim the eyes. I will never say goodbye again to you. Hand in hand we'll stroll together, walking heaven's avenue. I'll be waiting at the river for you. Yes, I'll be waiting at the river for you.
Thanks for the singing. I enjoyed the singing tonight. Glad to be here. I look around and I see there's a couple of smiles. So somebody's glad to be. But the most important one glad to be here is Brother Ray. He got to hear somebody sing tonight. See, he gets a double whammy tonight, huh? He got to see me and got to hear her sing. We just amen and go home, man. I'm glad to see Brother Ray. You pray one for another. We got a lot of things. God, a lot of things. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want you to listen. Sometimes you get thoughts and sometimes you get something that the Lord just won't leave you alone with, and you just keep on going back and keep on going back, and there's no way. There's no way that we can justify in a short period of time everything that needs to be said tonight. I want you to read with me out of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and I want to begin reading in verses number 8. Very familiar reading that we're going to read, something that we've looked at and studied and looked at and over and over and over again, but I want you to listen to it as we get down to a certain section. Verse 8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Pretty simple, isn't it? We're not going to talk about that, but think about it. Every one of us, we can't please God. Now, there's no way. If God said that you might be able to please God, that we might be able to get good enough, we might work hard enough. But it says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Something's wrong with our flesh, isn't it? Because something makes us pleasing to God. And it ain't this. Verse 9. But you're not in the flesh. But I'm adding that word you're. You're in the flesh. You're not in that flesh. No. You're in the spirit. A difference. If I was living in the flesh and only the flesh only, if that's all you saw and that's my life, I couldn't please God. But God said there's something in there that can be pleasing. That's in the spirit. Bible says in the book of Revelation, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. That means we're not the one inside. He's the one living within us. That spirit, when he said, I go away, so that comforter, he'll come. And when that comforter comes, he will abide with you. Abide means I'm going to stay right here with you. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit of life, because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he hath raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, which means everything that we've just got through reading, how that he's talking about him living within us, how that the flesh cannot do any good because of all of those little reasons. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. May we pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for the reading. And God, I thank you for each word that we've been able to read from. And I thank you, God, for whatever it means to our heart that it just multiply. God, we need that strength that only you can provide us. And God, we need that assurance that you give us. And God, we need that ability to be able to see further than the eyeballs see. But God, see what you have for us. Have your way and speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Look once again at one particular part of this verse that we read. I want you to listen a part of verse 12 when he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Now, we've read in the Bible about debtors before. We've seen that sometimes debtors means that we owe. We're short. We're dependent. I look at what Jesus did on multiplying the fish. And that's a great miracle, wasn't it? 5 loaves, 2 fishes, feeds thousands. He didn't have any investment in it at all. The little boy brought the lunch. And yet every one of them that was fed, every one of them that was fed could have felt an obligation of debt. Could have. I didn't say did. Could have. In fact, the disciples, there was 12 basketfuls of fragments that was taken up. And they, as we all talk about, they got to carry them home with them. They could have felt in debt, owed, because somebody provided for them a meal. Now, is that true debt? If I look at what the woman at the well, whenever she came, she was drawing from water. She was going to get water because, you know, her reputation and all that thing. Whenever she came to draw water, and Jesus
He was sitting thus on the well, being wearied with his journey, and those things had happened. And Jesus said, would you give me a drink of water? Well, now, it would have been very easy. It had been very easy for that woman to say, well, you know, let me, here, I'll give you, and then you would owe me. You'd be in debt for my good favor. See, we like to understand the principle of giving and receiving. Or we like the principle of debt or owing and collecting. You see, a lot of folks today, they thrive off of them being able to give to somebody else and wanting something in return. You remember the man that came to Jesus? I'll get back to the woman in a minute. But remember the man that came to Jesus and Jesus, all I'd like for you really is eternal life. Now, he didn't word it exactly that way, but really that's all the man really wanted. He didn't want to follow after Christ. He didn't want to be like one of the disciples. He wanted to do his thing, his way, and the way to do that, Lord, give me eternal life. See, he wanted, but he didn't want to give. He wanted something out of life, and he knew that somebody like Jesus could give it, and nobody else, because he'd heard it. And when you hear something like that, if you can get by without owing somebody, if you can get by without owing somebody, you're better off. Back to the woman at the well. Jesus said to her, if you'd ask of me, I'd give you living water. She didn't comprehend that. She didn't understand that. Friend, if you've never been around God, if you've never been around hearing what the Holy Spirit's able to do, if you've never understood about this living water that Jesus talked about, you would have been in the same boat. We would have all been in the same boat. See, we were all sinners. None of us comprehended the language and the understanding of God. When you don't understand God and whenever he speaks something like, if you'd give me living water, I'd give you living water. Nobody knew what living water was, but yet get saved and you understand living water. When you're saved, you start beginning to understand the things of God. Because remember, when it comes to debt, when it comes to owing, when it comes to giving, when it comes to all those type things, there is a part of us that wants to be on the receiving end, not the giving end. We want to be on that receiving of the blessings, but not on the giving of the blessings. Bible says, given it shall be given you, good measure, shaken together, and running over shall men give you. We like to be on that end. But listen to this. This passage of Scripture, the apostle writes unto us and said, you know what? Therefore, because of these reasons, we are debtors. We owe. When Jesus went to Calvary's cross, when he went to Calvary's cross, there was one thief on that cross that said, man, we deserve to be here. But this fella, he doesn't deserve to be here. Friend, that one thief on that cross, few minutes early was right with everybody else saying, yeah, sir, that rascal, get him up here with us. But it didn't take long for what Jesus did to touch that man's heart. And all of a sudden, his language changes, said, would you remember me? When you come into your kingdom. Now that had to be all of a sudden not worried about what is owed. There's not a dollar of the value that you can put on salvation. And on that day, on that particular moment, in that particular time when Jesus said this word to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You can't put a dollar value when the Lord says that. Now, if I tell you, if I say, hey, guess what? We're going to get on a plane and we're going to fly to paradise. You know what you're going to say? What's it going to cost me? Because you know this old preacher ain't going to do nothing for free. What's it going to cost me? What have I got to do? A friend of mine, Jesus took the thief on the cross to paradise and didn't cost him a nickel. In fact, he had no offering to bring. He had nothing to offer. But now let's go back. That other thief on the cross saw the same thing. Same thing. Identical situation. Just one side, the other side. Identical situation. Identical theme. Everything that was said and done. Both sets of eyeballs from both people saw it. They ears, they heard it. But it touched the heart differently of one versus the other. Now, how come you read in the book of Romans here says we're debtors? What is owed us? Jesus has never appeared to me physically and say, listen, this is how you're going to change your life. This is what's going to happen. This is how your life's going to change for the remainder of your days. That didn't happen. What Jesus offered unto me was something that he never said will cost you a penny. On the day that I got saved and on the day that you got saved, nobody said to you this, come to Jesus, you'll owe him later. We talk about the free gift of God. We talk about eternal life that lasts forever. We never, ever talk about what we owe Christ. What do we owe him? What do we owe? What do we owe the Lord? Friend, you can't write a check big enough to supply that need. Two people won them, whatever that lottery cost. Two people won, I don't know what it was, but two people won all that money. They ain't got enough money right now to pay 1 ounce, one foot into heaven. See, it's not about that. Because if that would have been the case, every preacher before would have always said it'd have been passed down from generation. You come get saved and you'll owe the Lord later. We like installment plans. Everybody does it. We like to be able to say, well, I'll take it now and pay for it later. Everybody does it. But in Jesus' case, he never said nothing about us owing him. Now let's look at this particular verse. Now let's look at what he says in this thing. And I want you to see now from those eyes, therefore, brethren, why do we look at that? Go back up to 10. If Christ be in you, if Christ be in you. In fact, what we said about Revelation 3 and 20, when he moves in, when he's in there, does he all of a sudden set up shop inside and say, guess what? You're going to owe God? You're going to owe God for what God has done to you? Friend of mine, he takes away all your sins. He sets apart in you a new life. He'll provide for you, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature. God provides for us. God puts the shoes on our feet, the clothes on our back, a roof over our head. All those things God will provide and doesn't ask for one thing. Not one thing. See, somehow or another, we're on a different thought pattern than the way the world thinks. The way the world thinks is this, like the rich man. I won't. Sometimes we get in our heart and our mind that's the only way the church survives. Friend, the church survives because if you do what God wants you to do, nobody has to talk about money in a church house. No, not a picky, not a penny, not a nickel, not anything. We don't have to talk about money if you do what you're supposed to do. Now, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, money's on your mind. Money's on your mind. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, things all of a sudden, guilt will come right in front of you. It'll all of a sudden stare you in the face. Now listen to me. If we're in debt, we'll think we owe something. And that's the reason the rich young ruler went away because of what he had. Whenever you've got more means than you need, all of a sudden those means become your God. Remember what happened to the good old man in the Old Testament? Job had more things, more all this, that, and the other than a man could possibly have. And what did he concern himself with in those early days? He wanted to do a sacrifice. If his children had sinned, he wanted to offer a sacrifice unto God. Cattle, hills, houses, things didn't matter. What mattered to God was salvation. You see what we're different? We're different. We're debtors. Now, the Apostle Paul, don't you think he understood debt? On the road to Damascus, when he was going to do what he was wanting to do, minding his own business, doing his own thing, Bible says, noonday sun, light brighter than, comes along the journey, hits him right dead square in the face. Nobody else can hear what's going on between him and God. And this kind of conversation, Jesus happened to say, I got a work for this rascal to do. Now, he tells Ananias, I got a work for him to do. But did the Lord use you owe me for what you've done? Now, I want to say, if there's anybody that owed, Paul did. The rascal hurt the church. Ananias, Sapphira, didn't they hurt the church? They held back part of what they were supposed to give. And where did that supposed to give come from? Their own mouth. But they were willing to say, yo, we're going to go right along with everybody else. But when it comes to the truth of it, they lied to the Holy Ghost. And when they lied to the Holy Ghost, God killed them. Now listen, watch carefully this. When Paul got saved, God didn't say, you owe me. Because if God would have told Paul, you owe me, every one of us would be in owing. We'd be in debt. A debt that we could not pay. We can't pay to get in heaven, not with money, not with possessions. In fact, if I look around at all this world contains, there's not a thing that this world contains that we can give to get us into heaven. We're in debt. What do you do when all your money is Confederate money? You know, Confederate money is worthless. What do you do when all your money is Confederate money? What do you do when you don't own a thing? When everything that you've got is given to you, what do you do? What do you do when you don't know where your next meal's coming from? What do you do when the doctor says there is no hope? All of a sudden, your side of the equation, I'm going to be in debt. One of the things that I don't know if it's called a fear, but all of my working days, I've been blessed to have insurance. I've been blessed to have that. And I don't know if I'd ever get to the point where I can jump out without it. I like to have that insurance. Because sure enough, if I go without it one day, that'll be the day I get sick and need to go to the doctor. One day. And I've always been blessed to have that insurance. And it gives me peace of mind to reach in my billfold and pull out an insurance card when I go to the doctor. Now you listen. What if my card was taken away? I'd be in debt. But I'd just be in debt as long as I live here on this world. I can leave this world owing
this world. But I can't leave this world owing God. The biggest difference in the world is when Jesus comes knocking at my heart, he don't say, "You're going to have to pay me back." He don't look at me and say, "Oh, this right here will cost you this much." God just kind of pours a little grace and mercy every single time that I need it. Every time when things are looking kind of rough and ragged, he comes right on the scene and just pours a little bit of that grace and mercy. Every time when I think I owe God, he just says, "Paid in full." One time we look at Calvary's cross and we can see that old thief that said, "Lord, would you just remember me, Jesus?" Just, oh, the words could have brought a smile on his face today. But the Lord could have looked around at that other feller and say, "You got anything to say?" Because that feller had nothing to say. I'm glad one day I was blessed enough to have God speak to me and say, "Oh yes, I want what you got. Because what I got ain't working. I want what you got." And he didn't say, "You're going to be in debt." I'm the one that says, "I'm in debt to God." I'm the one that brings that up. I owe him everything. There's not a thing that I got in this world that's mine. It belongs to God. There's not a thing that I have the privilege of saying and doing. It's my thoughts. It all belongs to God. When we start feeling sorry for ourselves, just think about it. Friend, God doesn't expect nothing from us. He just wants us to live for him. God doesn't expect nothing from us. He offered us salvation and we are just smart enough to take it. I'm glad there's nothing in this world can take the place of the blood of Jesus in my heart. What a privilege. Are you in debt? If we talk about the world, different story. But if we talk about God, God says, "Paid in full. But I sure owe him everything. I sure owe him more than I'll ever be able to pay back. And I know my payments ain't worth anything. But I just want to be able to serve him and live for him until my last breath comes out of this body. And when that last one comes out, I get to go home." Let's have a song invitation. Brother, I don't know your heart. Are you a lie? I don't know whether you're headed to heaven. That's between you and God. But I do know this. If you think you can make it on your own, you're wrong. You're going to fail. You got to trust him. Know him in the free pardon of sin. Know what it means to pass from death unto life by coming to him. Let's stand to our feet. Sing a verse of the song, "God Speaking to You, You Come Today." Would you? 379.